This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Hello and welcome to Pop Vouchers, a pop culture podcast by The Straits Times. My name is Jen Lee, and today we're going to talk about Kanye West, who is now officially known as Ye. Just Ye, like Y-E. So why are we talking about Kanye West? I'm going to just refer to him as Kanye, even though his name is technically now Ye, because I feel like that's the way most people know him by. And I think it would be clearer if I referred to him as Kanye. So we're talking about this because latest news is that Kanye West, who has been nominated for 5 awards at the upcoming Grammys, has been banned from performing at the Grammys for what the Grammys calls concerning online behavior. And, you know, this has been like simmering for a while now. Kanye has been doing some things that is increasingly, I think, people would consider disturbing, especially in the wake of his divorce from his previous wife, Kim Kardashian, reality show star Kim Kardashian. It's really getting people talking, and it's really making people quite uncomfortable. The music industry has, you know, looked at this and clearly feel that it maybe has gone too far, and they are taking action, right, by not allowing him to perform at the Grammys. Of course, he's still up for the awards, and I think he might still be able to attend, but he's not able to perform. All right, so now why don't we just get into it, okay? I'll just do a quick introduction of, you know, who Kanye West and his ex-wife Kim Kardashian are, and then we'll talk about, like, what sort of happened in the lead up to their divorce, and what Kanye has done after the divorce, and some of the consequences that's been leveled at him, and why it feels a little bit more significant this time round, because Kanye has been doing, like, pulling stunts and doing a lot of weird things for a long time, but it does feel a little bit more significant this time, and it does feel a little bit different. The tone, the way we're talking about Kanye does feel a little bit different. And also, why is it so hard, you know, for people to really talk about Kanye and what he's doing right now and how we are processing what he's doing. And then I'll just give a little bit of my own thoughts about the whole issue. All right, so now let's get into it. Kanye West, if you guys don't know, is a very renowned rapper. He's, like, in the music industry, people consider him a genius, right? Like, he's really seen as this force in music, you know, and people really, really respect him. So he's a very renowned rapper. And he was married to reality show star Kim Kardashian for, I think, about 7 years before they filed for divorce in February 2021. So that was over a year ago. And since then, Kim Kardashian, again, guys, if y'all don't know who Kim Kardashian is, I really don't know how to explain her to you, because she's not an actress, she's not a singer, she's famous mostly for being famous. So she's in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, a longtime reality show series. Her father is also somebody famous. I think he was a lawyer involved in the O.J. Simpson case, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, so that's Kim. And her whole family is famous for being reality show stars. But she is definitely the most successful reality show star of all time, and she's a billionaire and everything. And so they were together for 7 years. They broke up in February 2021. And since then, Kim has begun dating Saturday Night Live star Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson is known as, aside from being a comedian on Saturday Night Live, which is a sketch show, he's also known for dating a lot of women of the moment. So he dated, like, the Bridgerton girl, the girl in Bridgerton season 1, Phoebe Denver, I think that's her name. Dated, like, he dates children of famous people like Margaret Qualley. He almost married Ariana Grande. I think he also dated Kaya Gerber, if I'm not wrong. He dated a bunch of very, very famous it girls. And although, you know, Kim Kardashian seems like she wouldn't exactly, like, she doesn't fit in that ingenue mode that he usually goes for, but she hosted SNL sometime in October 2021, and they started, like, you know, connecting and seemingly developed a relationship from there, lah. Since then, Kanye has embarked on a series of increasingly disturbing actions to win back his former wife. There's really no way about this. If you know, have seen the situation play out over social media and everything, you'll know that it is very disturbing and quite difficult to watch. And so, you know, that's the introduction. And to just give you guys a little bit of context of, you know, what was happening before they got divorced, in case you guys don't remember, Kanye ran for president in 2020. Kanye ran for, like, US president, POTUS, in 2020. Okay, so Kanye has always had, I think, mental health struggles that he's been very open about. So he's been very open about his diagnosis for bipolar disorder. He's also been quite open about the fact that he doesn't always follow the treatment that is prescribed to him. So he's talked about not taking his pills. He's also talked about being done with therapy and counseling in his song lyrics. And, you know, this was all playing out while he was running for president in 2020. So, you know, I know time feels insane and weird in light of the pandemic, but 2020 was indeed an election year for America. So Trump was fighting to retain his presidency, and in the end, he didn't. You know, Joe Biden won and is now the current US president. But alongside the both of them, Kanye West also ran for president. I think he ran under, like, the birthday party. I think that's the party, like the political party that he started for himself. And yeah, it was not, it was very weird. And I think he missed, like, the deadline to sign himself up as a candidate in certain states. So it was pretty obvious that he was never going to have a chance to win. But he still ran and he had rallies. So, like, you know how in US presidential elections, they always have, like, these rallies where they go to, like, different states and they, you know, talk to the crowd of supporters and try and rile them up, lah, right? Like, rile up their morale and talk about, you know, what they want to do for the country and so on. So, like, political rallies, right? So at the rally that went viral, he cried and talked about how him and Kim originally wanted to abort North, who is their first child. Currently, they have four children right now, you know, and I think custody might be under Kim. I'm not super sure. But yeah, so he basically broke down, right? Like, he was in tears talking about this, and it was all caught on video and obviously put onto social media because, like, it's Kanye West and he's, like, having a rally. So obviously people were, like, taking videos of the entire thing. And I think after this, I think this was the point where people were like, oh, this is getting very weird and uncomfortable. Like, he just shared this deeply personal thing without, seemingly without the permission of his wife, or without thinking about how his child North might feel knowing these things about their, you know, their marriage and about her birth. And many people feel that it's this presidential campaign and perhaps this rally in particular that damaged Kim and Kanye's relationship and marriage beyond salvation. So this is what happened, right, in the lead up. And, you know, even in the lead up to the divorce, a lot of people were really worried about Kanye West's mental health, because it does seem like he's like, the fact that he went to a rally and shared something so personal about their family life, the fact that he even ran for president, which seems like a pretty, you know, out there thing to do, all of this contributed to people feeling like, is he having an episode? Like, is he having a mental meltdown, you know, a bipolar episode that's leading to all of these things? And should we get, like, should Kanye be receiving help? Like, and if so, why isn't he receiving help? And so there was already a lot of talk about this, you know, but obviously he lost the election and, you know, so that just went away for a little bit. And then in February 2021, which is soon after, I think, the election stuff, Kanye and Kim announced their divorce, lah. And I'm not going to do a timeline of exactly what happened after the divorce, but I'm just going to give you, like, a brief rundown of events, because, like, if we go into a very specific timeline, it gets very, very complicated and there's a lot of information to pass through. So I'm just going to, like, do something a little bit more condensed, okay? Basically, what happened is that after Kim started seeing Pete Davidson, the attacks that I would consider them attacks, but I think to Kanye, he considers it efforts to win Kim back, really ramped up after she started dating Pete Davidson. So I think Kim and Pete met, or rather connected, when she hosted an SNL episode in October 2021. And then afterwards, they were seen together, like, you know, like, pepped together and everything. And soon after they were seen together, Kanye at a Drake concert. So apparently he and Drake used to have a feud, and this concert was like their feud ending gig. And he appeared at a Drake concert, and then he was singing, I think, a song of his called Runaway, and he like sort of ad-libbed the lyrics and told Kim to run back to him. So like, you know, he's trying to get Kim back. And reportedly, I think Kim was in the audience. And then after this, there were some property records that leaked that apparently Kanye West, so this is already like, you know, October, November, December, that timeline. So it's already months and months after their divorce. But according to property records, apparently Kanye closes on a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom house across the street from Kim for $4.5 million. So like, okay, also a bit concerning, right? Why are you buying a house right next to your ex-wife, you know, after your divorce? And then it grows, right? The level of disturbing things just keep growing and expanding. So he released a song called Easy, spelled with a Z, not an S. He released a song called Easy, and he caught Kim and Pete out in that song. And then also, I think he makes reference to buying the house next door. So I think that does confirm that he did buy a house next to Kim. And then in like, I think somewhere in late December or January, he starts like this whole whirlwind romance with this lady called Julia Fox, who I think appeared in the movie Uncut Gems in 2019. I think that was her debut performance. So she's kind of like not a super well-known actress, but obviously her profile has really, really grew since then because she dated Kanye West for like a little bit. The relationship generally is seen as a publicity stunt because they had a lot of photos together, and some of those photos were like arranged, like they arranged for a photographer to follow them around and everything. So it's sort of seen as a publicity stunt, and it was also a very quick romance. I think it barely lasted, like, I don't even think it lasted 2 months. So slightly over a month they broke up. I think it was right before V-Day. And in between this time when he's dating Julia Fox, you know, Kanye does a few things. He complains about his daughter North getting a TikTok account without his permission. Then I think he posts like photos of Kim with their kids on a magazine cover or something, and then with the caption that was like, "Oh God, please bring our family back together," you know. So it's like very obvious trying to get her back. He also apparently harasses Pete Davidson on social media. And Kim actually, like Kim Kardashian actually made a post about Kanye harassing her because of all these things that's happening, right? She actually made a post on social media where she said like, "Kanye's constant," this is a quote, "Kanye's constant attacks on me in interviews and on social media is actually more hurtful than any TikTok North might create." So this was in response to Kanye being upset at North having a TikTok account. And she basically says like that he's been obsessed la, with like sort of like manipulating, you know, what their situation to be very negative in the public view and everything. And, you know, I think Kim rarely posts about her and Kanye's relationship. So this was like a pretty rare statement for her to put out. I think it's also signaled how Kim feels harassed la. Like she feels, you know, inconvenienced and also maybe afraid of Kanye, right? So this is what happens during that time, that 1.5 months or so. And then on V-Day, and by this time Kanye had already broken up with Julia Fox, he takes a photo of a truck of roses and tags Kim, which like, okay, I guess he sent her a truckload of roses to try and win her back. Throughout this entire time, Kim is dating Pete Davidson, okay? Kim is still dating Pete Davidson, by the way. And then like people are just like, Kanye, like, are you okay? Like, you know, Kim is with Pete. And of course, there are also fans who are like, yay, Kanye, do your thing, you know, bring your family back together, go for your wife, you know, blah, blah, blah. There are people like that. There are all sorts of people on the internet. But I think enough people took notice of the fact that this is, you know, really disturbing. And I think also because Kim came out and said that it's really disturbing, Kanye basically apologized for harassing her. And then, but then there are also like leaked texts of Kim asking Kanye to stop harassing Pete because people like online and like in the streets are also starting to harass Pete and it feels dangerous for him. And you know, all of this is just a lot. And also all of this took place over social media, but Kanye has deleted a lot of these things off his social media. So a lot of these things, you cannot find them, you know, on his social media, on his Instagram account anymore. What you can probably find is that in March, he released a music video for Easy. And I think this was the point where everyone was like, okay, this has clearly gotten way too much. Like, I think previously people already are like, this is very uncomfortable. But I think the music video for Easy really, like, was the tipping point for a lot of people. Because in it, right, a claymation version of Kanye. So, like, claymation is, like, a type of animation, okay? So, in the music video for Easy, a claymation version of Kanye kidnaps and apparently buries a claymation version of Pete alive. And, like, the grave has, like, roses growing around him. And then he, like, puts him onto a truck, which might be a reference to the whole truck full of roses that he sends Kim on V-Day. And then there are also scenes where, like, the Kanye claymation figure carries what looks like Claymation Pete's severed head around. So it's very clearly a sort of like, it's very clearly a very violent imagery, right, directed towards Pete Davidson. And some of the lyrics of Easy actually calls Pete Davidson out as well. And following all of this, you know, I think Daily Show host, talk show host Trevor Noah basically calls Kanye and the entire situation out for being disturbing. He's like, you know, so context is that Trevor Noah kind of grew up in an abusive household. So he has seen like his mom get abused by her partner. And he basically says like, you know, a lot of women are in situations like this where they get harassed by their ex after they dare to leave, after they dare to say they don't want to be in a relationship anymore. So he's basically expressing concern for what's happening for Kim Kardashian. And I actually watched the entire segment. I recommend people to watch it as well. It's on YouTube. You just type Trevor Noah Kanye. It's actually quite a well-considered segment. And he's not like, you know, straight up dragging Kanye and being like, oh my God, this dude, what's he doing? And like being angry or anything. No, he's actually very sedate in his comments and just very genuinely expressing concern for everybody involved in the situation, Kanye included. And unfortunately, Kanye saw these comments as an attack and on Instagram directed a racial slur at Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah is African, by the way, South African. So, you know, obviously people saw this as like, you know, sort of hate speech. Like he directed a racial slur, like, you know, he used a racial slur on a public platform. And because of that, he was banned from Instagram for 24 hours. He was suspended from Instagram for 24 hours. And then afterwards, you know, we got the news that he has been banned from performing at the Grammys due to concerning online behavior. So that's, you know, just a very condensed version of what has happened up to this point. And I do think that it is, it does appear a little bit more significant than previous times when we've seen Kanye have sort of meltdowns over social media, because there are actually like some level of consequences, right? I wouldn't consider any of the consequences to be debilitating to Kanye, you know. I mean, like, you can't post for what, 24 hours. You don't perform at the Grammys, but you're still nominated, you know. So I wouldn't consider any of these things to be too significant. I'm not gonna say like, oh, they're good gauge of punishment for him. I also don't know what sort of punishment should exist for him. But, you know, it is action. You know, the fact that the Grammys banned him from performing is a sign that the music industry is looking at what Kanye is doing and being like, this has gone too far. And the fact that celebrities like Trevor Noah are speaking out and saying like, this is an uncomfortable situation and we should not, like, what are we doing just looking at this thing take place, you know, in our society. So it does feel like people within the industry itself is starting to, you know, I think like confront Kanye and his actions, which is something that I don't think was always around in the past. I mean, there was that whole feud with Taylor Swift and everything, but I think this is the first time that like we're looking at it through the lens of his marriage with Kim Kardashian.
Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa enabled devices. And now back to our podcast episode.
Now, all right, let's just go into a little bit, you know, about why I think it's been so difficult to talk about Kanye and his troubles and his relationship with Kim and everything. And there are a few factors. So first of all, I think it's the idea of what Kanye is doing as performance art. So the thing with Kanye is that he's always been extremely, I think, his personality has always been, and things that happen to him has always been very tied into his music and his works. So there's some like talk that maybe this is just like him doing like high level performance art, and maybe we shouldn't be too concerned about it. Maybe he's just like portraying, you know, an image that he's portraying specifically for work, right? For his album, for whatever. And I mean, it's not uncommon for especially I think musicians to bring in a lot of their personal life and their personal branding and their personality and what has happened to them and their whole history into their music. I don't think that this is uncommon. In fact, I think most musicians do that. But I do think that in this case, it does seem very extreme, because he might not have harmed Kim Kardashian or Pete Davidson physically, but he is inflicting emotional distress on them, right? It's very, like, I mean, just imagine being, like, imagine you're a guy who dates a woman who has an ex-husband, and then, like, the ex-husband releases threatening, like, texts and threatening videos directed at you. That's very distressing, right? I mean, you know, I don't think that's a comfortable experience for anybody at all. And also for Kim, like, you left this dude like 1 year ago and he's still actively all over social media trying to win you back, posting like, you know, pictures and captions that are very, very emotional about you. And I think that would feel pretty scary to anybody. But the thing is that it's very hard for us to talk about what Kanye is doing, I think, and really clearly delineating it as some form of abusive behavior because of not only the performance art issue, but also of his mental health issues, right? Because we're looking at somebody who is clearly going through something, like he clearly isn't healthy in the sense of like, he's been very open about this, he's not taking his medications. He apparently in Easy, in the lyrics of Easy, he talks about being done with counseling, like he's done with therapy. So you're like, okay, this is a guy who has a diagnosed mental health issue, has openly talked about refusing treatment for it. So we know that he is troubled. So the fact that he is troubled also makes it very hard for us to I think fully be like, oh, he has absolute and total control of his faculties and what he's doing. But at the same time, it's also like, well, people have mental health issues and not all of them like harass women, you know? So I think Kanye still definitely has to take some level of responsibility, and Kanye still definitely has to be held accountable for his own actions, even if we find it very difficult to see him as somebody in full capacity at full potential of who he is because of his mental health issues. And, you know, again, another thing about this whole issue is that Kanye has always been seen as a genius. And I think like society as a whole finds it very difficult to hold men, especially men that have been so elevated and seen as so respected and seen as having such amazing, you know, artistic ability. Society generally has a long history of finding it difficult to hold men like this accountable, you know, and to make excuses for men like this. We've seen it time and again in people like, you know, Harvey Weinstein, people like Kevin Spacey, you know, so we've seen it time and again happen. I'm not saying that what Kanye is doing is the same as Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey. I'm just saying that the through line is that we generally make a lot of excuses and give a lot of leeway to men who have been seen as geniuses, who have been seen as very capable at what they do. And then another thing is that Kim and Kanye's entire relationship over 7 years, and I remember this because like I was on, yeah, I mean, like, I've always been very interested in celebrity culture and everything. So I've seen like photos of them, you know, since they started dating and everything. I've seen stories about them, you know. I don't really follow, you know, Kanye's music or Keeping Up with the Kardashians at all, but even to somebody very casually interested in celebrity culture as me, Kim and Kanye are two people that have completely founded their personal brand on being very, very attention-seeking. And this is like just fact. This is just pure fact. Like the way they dress when they're out in public, the way they dress when they're going to things like the Met Gala, they're always trying to get the most headlines and the most views. And it has worked out very well for them, especially for Kim in particular. You know, she's a billionaire. Like, she's one of the richest women, you know, in Hollywood, right? Because she is so good at marketing herself and branding herself. And that's part of the reason why Kim and Kanye as a couple was so powerful, right? They were super into publicity stunts. And I think it makes it hard for us to look at what they're going through and what Kim is going through as a serious issue, because they have this legacy of being attention seekers. And it makes, I think, the public feel very cynical when they're viewing what's happening to Kim and Kanye, when they're looking at anything involving their marriage. They're just like, people are just like, yeah, but maybe they're all just doing for the clicks and the views, you know? And the thing is, I think two things can be true at the same time. I think Kanye can be dating Julia Fox, can be harassing Kim, can be releasing the disturbing Easy music video in part for clout and publicity, and also in part to harass his wife, in part to intimidate Kim and scare Kim into coming back to him. I think two things can be true. I also think that Kim can be genuinely feeling harassed and genuinely feeling afraid of Kanye, and at the same time leveraging the situation so that she gets more publicity out of it, so that she gets a little bit more cultural cachet out of it. I think two things can be true at the same time. I think especially for them, because I think that attention-seeking part of them, right, is so embedded into them as human beings at this point. Because like, you can't just have a reality show for like over a decade and not have it change you in some way. And you can't be as famous as Kanye has been and as active as Kanye has been on social media for so many years and not be changed by it in some way. I think the instinct for them to be attention seeking just cannot be taken out of them anymore. And I think it ties into whatever they are doing, but I don't think it takes away from the situation, from the severity of the situation, right, that they're going through. And then another factor is that makes it very hard for us, I think, to really look at what is happening is that Kim Kardashian is not well liked. Like, as I've mentioned, you know, they've always built their brand on being attention seeking. And I think more so for Kim, she is seen that way because Kanye has his music, has, you know, Donda and, you know, all his albums and everything. And he's seen as a genius, as I've said. Kim, on the contrary, is seen as somebody who has no talent, right? She is seen as somebody who is famous for being famous. And to some extent, I think that is very, very true. Kim doesn't really have like works, you know, I mean, she has Keeping Up with the Kardashians and she has, you know, her own clothing line and everything, but she is not famous for like acting or singing in the conventional way that we think people should be famous. She is not super famous for having like created, you know, works of art, so people generally don't feel that she deserves her level of fame. And she's also not well liked because she's done a lot of things that are very, very problematic. Like, Kim Kardashian is a very, very problematic figure. She has done so much plastic surgery, and I think that has contributed to not exactly the best, you know, body image discussion and issues for the general public. She also sells things that are like not, I think she sells, I'm pretty sure she and her family have like hawked like slimming products and whatnot, which are not helpful to body image issues, and also a bit untrue given that a lot of the Kardashian sisters have gone through like massive plastic surgery, and that's how they get their figure, that's how they get their face and everything. And, you know, so I understand like Kim Kardashian is not a person that is easy to root for. Like, very recently, I think she made this very thoughtless statement about how like women nowadays just don't want to work, and like they just want to like they are lazy, and that's why, you know, they cannot succeed. When Kim Kardashian has basically succeeded through very little hard work of her own. Like, her father was famous. You know, she basically was in a reality TV show and she got married to a very famous man, you know, things like that. So she's not, as I said, not an easy person to root for. Cultural appropriation, everything, every problematic thing that you can think of, Kim Kardashian has probably done some of it. So it makes it very hard for, I think, the public to look at her as a sympathetic figure. It's doubly hard to look at her as a sympathetic figure because she's so rich and because she's so famous. So of course, like, just the normal everyday Joe on the street is like, yo, I have to pay like a bunch of bills. I have to take care of like, you know, my parents, my children. I don't have the money that she has. I cannot go on vacation to some random island whenever I want, you know. Clearly, I have more important things to think about than to concern myself and to feel sympathetic for Kim Kardashian, who is one of the richest celebrity women ever. So I understand all of that. But I think that's exactly what makes her situation so much more worthy of attention. Because as Trevor Noah said in his, you know, segment, Kim Kardashian is not, doesn't have really have a lot of public goodwill. You can dislike her, but she is so famous and so rich, and still she is harassed by her ex-husband. Like, can you imagine what happens to normal women? Can you imagine what happens to normal people who don't have that clout, who cannot afford, for example, to get themselves private security, who cannot, for example, just fly off anywhere they want to escape their exes, who, you know, despite the fact that she has so much power, so much money, she still cannot escape her harassing ex-husband. She cannot stop her ex-husband from talking about her on social media. She cannot stop her ex-husband from threatening her current boyfriend. She cannot stop her ex-husband from intimidating her in his lyrics and everything. So it's very, very, I think, illuminating. The fact that you can be so powerful and still just cannot get out of an abusive relationship. That shows how hard it is to get out of a relationship safely. And that's why a lot of people, when they ask women who have been abused or who took very long to escape an abusive marriage, they're always like, why didn't you just leave? Like, why don't you just zao, right? You cannot zao. How to zao? Like, the guy gets scarier and scarier. Like, what if your husband or, you know, abusive partner behaves like Kanye? Like, he starts getting intimidating. He moves into the house next to yours to, like, spy on you and everything. Like, how can you get out, right? So in some way, some people choose not to rock the boat. Some people choose not to leave because they don't want to further exacerbate their partner's anger, you know? So, you know, time for final thoughts. I think I've gone on way too long. There's definitely lessons to be, I think, learned here about the coverage of Kanye and the coverage of his breakdown on, you know, his marriage breakdown with Kim Kardashian. And I think this, we definitely should think more deeply and more critically when we look at celebrity stories like that and how they reflect and tie back into our real lives, and how just like you can be rich and famous and still have very, very relatable problems. You can be rich and famous and still struggle with mental health and still struggle with abusive relationships. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, these two people have four children together. And I really think it's just such a difficult situation for the kids because they have to, when they grow up, like the internet is forever, you know. So when they grow up, they will have to, they will inevitably come across this period of time in their parents' lives where Kanye was behaving so atrociously towards his ex-wife, you know, where their dad was being so intimidating to their mom and her boyfriend then. And they have to see like all of the talk surrounding Kanye, all of the comments surrounding Kanye, all of the public discourse surrounding Kanye and, you know, Kim. And it's just unthinkable. I really don't envy. I mean, I'm sure those kids will grow up extremely well off materially, but I really cannot imagine like the sort of emotional toll it takes on you to see, you know, your family affairs play out like this. So it's very sad and very disturbing. And I really, really hope that, you know, more of the industry takes notice of what Kanye is doing to send him a message that this isn't okay. And I really hope that he has people around him who can help him just like get mental health treatment. And I mean, I think it's very hard if somebody just refuses to go for a treatment and somebody refuses to abide by treatment. But I really, really do hope that, you know, Kanye comes out of this a more mentally stable person. And I really, really hope like Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson, no matter whether you like them or not, don't have to suffer this anymore. Yep. So I think that's all for today. You know, it's a little bit of a heavy episode, but I do think that it is important to talk about it, given, you know, how much it has dominated the headlines over, you know, this few months. You know, I don't think I've seen Kanye out of the headlines in ages, like, because I follow like a lot of entertainment sites and he's just always around and it's very upsetting. Every single headline just gets more and more upsetting. So, you know, hopefully I gave you guys a little bit of context into what is happening if you didn't know, you know, and now you know. So, yeah, I think that's it for this week. You know, just write into me if you have any thoughts on what I shared with you, and write into me if you have any ideas for what I should talk about. So you can find me at jenlee@sph.com.sg or my Instagram at jenleewrites. You can also email the podcast team at podcast@sph.com.sg. All right, now, so that's your dose of pop culture for this week, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
That was a podcast by The Straits Times. Send your feedback to podcast@sph.com.sg. Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. For more podcasts by The Straits Times, The Business Times, and Money FM 89.3, you can also download the Audio by SPH app. That's AWEDIO.